Oh, there's an easy one. Thank you. Thank you, Leah. I'd like to say what a treat it has been to work with David and Judy in planning this call. And I also want to thank both of them for starting with concrete recommendations, because I'm going to start more theoretically before moving to applied thought here. Before I attempt to answer the questions Leah just asked, I want to think with you about how these questions are linked. Time management, what you want from your rabbinate, and using your feelings, including your aggressive ones. It strikes me that these questions have to do with the use of yourself. And when I say self, I want you to be thinking of self with a capital S. When it comes to time management and the bigger question of what you want, the challenge is how you relate to your own self and to your own self's needs and desires. When it comes to using emotion in your work, the challenge is how you use yourself in relationship to others. So it makes sense to start by talking about the self as a frame for addressing these specific questions. Having said that, trying to talk about self is a slippery business. It's a little like trying to define what a soul is. I have yet to find a really good definition of self, since it varies from person to person. But the British writer Adam Phillips offers us a useful way to think about it. He says, "What do we depend on to make us feel alive or real? Where does our sense come from when we have it, that our lives are worth living?" So a self has something to do with what makes you feel alive. Where does it come from? To some degree, we come into the world with the makings of a self, but a self doesn't form in a vacuum. It forms in relationship. The British analyst Donald Winnicott frames it this way. He says, "There's no such thing as a baby. There's only the baby in relationship with its caregiver." An optimal early environment with a good enough caregiver leads you to develop a true self. An inadequate environment can create what Winnicott calls a false self. That is, a self that relies on pleasing others to the exclusion of its own needs. Most of us live with the vestiges of both a true and a false self, since no one grows up in a perfect environment. In the rabbinate, you see that true self, false self conflict most clearly when you toggle between pleasing others and pleasing yourself. Many of us experience that conflict way too often. How do you develop or uncover that self that Phillips describes, that person with a sense of aliveness, that sense that your life is worth living? A secure sense of self requires the right amount of stability and flexibility. If you're too flexible, you can lose your sense of self. If you're too rigid, you can end up in a constant fight to resist change. That ideal spot in the middle is the place where you feel most resilient. And in our work as rabbis, having a resilient self may be our best asset. You can define a resilient self in many ways, but I think of it like this. When you're confronted with a new or difficult situation, that you realize you have many possibilities in your toolkit for how to respond. You have a repertoire of choices. The opposite of resilience is if you have only one way of responding that you fall back on in every situation. Developing a resilient self is one way of addressing those questions we started with. First, time management. You all know that no matter how good you are at planning, it's the rare day when things go as planned. Yet having said that, you still need to have a plan, even if the plan later needs to be altered. Our colleague Seth Bernstein likes to say there's no problem with time management. Time manages itself quite well. It just keeps rolling. It isn't time that needs to be managed. We need to be managed, or rather, we need to manage ourselves. It's not just a matter of how much time you work, but how you work during that time. Do you work in a way that helps yourself feel centered, that allows you to engage emotionally, but also to take care of yourself appropriately. We all know that there is too much to do. But what is the subtext behind the things we so often say? I'm too busy to think. I'm too busy to plan. I'm always running from one thing to another. I don't even have time to pee. When you keep yourself in constant motion, you actually prevent yourself from knowing what you think or feel, because all your feelings are going into your actions. If you want to know what's motivating your working either too much or in a way that's depleting rather than sustaining, you first have to stand still long enough to figure out what you feel. Once you know what you feel, you can figure out what you want. Only then can you make a good plan for how to manage your time. Which leads us to the other question about feelings and the use of emotion, including aggression and assertiveness feelings. We women, we women rabbis, often tend to feel uncomfortable with our aggressive feelings. Many of us prefer the loving feelings. The problem is when it comes to feelings, it's an all or nothing game. You can't just choose having the ones you like. Allowing yourself to feel even your most difficult feelings is exactly what helps you feel like a whole and complete self. Once you can experience all your feelings, you'll be better at accepting and responding to the feelings of the people you interact with. We women rabbis may like the notion of collaborating and cooperating, but our members, our constituents, just haven't all read that chapter in the book. Some of them are distinctly uncooperative and obstructionist. Being nice to them is like saying, be careful to the bull in the china shop. At best, it simply doesn't work. At worst, you get trampled. Once you become more aware of your own aggressive feelings, you can work to use those feelings to manage the kind of interaction that supports your sense of self. It's almost impossible to do this, to plan time management, to work with your emotions by yourself, because these questions can't be answered in the abstract, only in the specific. And since the origins of yourself are in relationship, these questions regarding use of yourself are best addressed in an ongoing, talking relationship. You might call it coaching, you might call it therapy, you might call it supervision, you can call it chevruta. It doesn't really matter what you call it. The words are often interchangeable. One of my favorite supervisors used to say that supervision was really two words, super and vision. Because when you put two people together talking about things, you get supervision. We rabbis run the risk of being lone rangers. That is why, if I can speak for Judy and David without their permission for the moment, that's why the three of us do what we do. We try to work in the context of relationship. It's the way that you maintain resilience and the way you achieve that sense of self where you feel alive and real. Roy Oswald shares a painfully honest but inspiring reflection about his own journey in ministry in his book on clergy self-care. And I'd like to end with his words. He wrote, "As I've looked at my own life and talked to pastors, it's clear to me that much of what we do is governed by our theology of ministry. I began my ministry with the idea that I could single-handedly make the small mission congregation to which I had been called grow and flourish. Seminary had prepared me intellectually for theological and biblical work with parishioners, but it did not prepare me to deal with my limitations in coping with their seemingly insatiable demands and the confusion I felt in trying to set priorities among the many parish tasks. I felt surrounded by a sea of human need that I set out to fill through my own physical resources. My growing despair and anger occasionally surfaced in my sermons. I thought I was being prophetic, but actually I was berating them for not working as hard as I did. I was defenseless against the demands of ministry because I had no theological perspective for self-care and the management of my limitations. I had not yet discovered what it meant to be a wounded healer. And he describes coming to this conclusion, I must reinterpret my call to a parish primarily as a call to serve God, not necessarily to serve people. My first call is to be a liberated, whole human being. Thank you. Look forward to questions. I was talking about two different people. One is Adam Phillips. Sorry, I muted myself. Adam Phillips, who is a